Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
The big subject in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, is drawing near to God. How men and women draw near to the true and living God, and it begins by telling us that the way we draw near to God is by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to God by coming to Him, that is Christ, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Peter's version, I suppose you might say, of John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So, there's where we begin. You want to come to God? You want to be related to God? You want to know God? You want to be in a position to worship God? Then you've got to come to Him through Jesus Christ, who is here called the living stone rejected of men, but chosen by God and precious. But there's more to it than that, because as we go on in verse 5, we find out some of the reasons why we come to God through Jesus Christ. Our motives must be correct. We recognize that some people want to come to God because they think He has the power to bestow physical and material blessings, the health and wealth gospel. Be rightly related to God, and He'll protect you from sickness and from accidents, and He will bestow many physical blessings upon you, and that's the reason you come to God. Well, sorry, if that's your motive for trying to come to God, you'll never get to God. Really. Not the true and living God. You probably will get to the God of this world, who will deceive you into thinking that you are rightly related to God Almighty, and then one day you will hear his laugh of glee as you are thrown into the pit and realize that you were worshiping the wrong God. Don't make that mistake. Your motive for coming to God needs to be the right motive. And what would that be? Well, as we've already seen, number one, we come to Christ in order to share His life, because we must have that. He, the living stone, must give to us life so that we can become living stones. That's what we need, is life. We are spiritually dead. Only He can give us life. So we come in order to share His life, not for Him to enhance our present life, our Adamic life. We come to advance His kingdom, to build up His house, the spiritual temple. We don't come for Him to build our little kingdom, but we come to contribute to the building up of His kingdom. And number three, we come to worship Him. We don't come to Him so that we can be exalted and others will worship us, but no, we come as worshipers to Him. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ is the way that Peter puts it. And that's where we've been the last couple of broadcasts, and we'll continue today on this Tuesday, August 27. We're grateful for the opportunity to break open God's Word with you today, and we are exceedingly thankful for those radio listeners who help us financially to do so. We come to worship Him. We are constituted the holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. What a tremendous privilege. And as we've seen, those sacrifices that are well-pleasing to God involve the sacrifice of praise with our lips, vocal praise to God, Hebrews 13:15, the sacrifice of good works of deeds, according to Hebrews 13:16. The sacrifice of our giving, that is, the giving of our money, our material substance, also according to Hebrews 13:16, and according to Philippians 4:18, all of these are areas of sacrifice that are well-pleasing to God. And finally, we take up the sacrifice of consecration, you might call it, the consecrating of our entire lives to Him. And, of course, almost all of us are familiar with that verse in Romans 12:1. What a great text. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. There's a sacrifice that New Covenant believers make to God. We present our bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, like those animals that were burned upon the Old Testament altars, but a living sacrifice. We give our lives, our energies, our time, our talents, our resources, which, of course, we have all received all of these things from God. And having been redeemed by the blood of Christ, He has bought us unto Himself, bought us out of the slave market of sin, and bought us unto Himself. What can we do but give ourselves to Him in glad and willing service, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God? That's a sacrifice with which He is well pleased, a sacrifice that is acceptable to Him, a sacrifice that New Covenant believers make to God in our worship of Him. And here are the words of Paul in Philippians 2:17. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Sacrifice language again. Paul said, I'm poured out like a drink offering. That was, of course, one of the offerings in the Old Testament. They would pour out a libation, a drink offering, an offering of wine poured out upon the altar as a sacrifice to God. Well, Paul said, that's what I am. I am such a libation to God. I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Paul indicated that his life was being poured out on behalf of others, in this case, on behalf of the Philippian believers, in order to bring the gospel to them, in order to encourage and cultivate their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To that end, his life was being poured out like a drink offering, as a sacrifice to God. Sounds like Paul was being a living sacrifice, that which he called upon others to be. He himself set the example when he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so, why do we come to God through Jesus Christ? What have we seen? Why do we come to Him? Remember, number one, we come to share His life. We must have His life infused into us. Number two, we come to advance, or maybe I should say, build up His kingdom. We are living stones placed in the house of God to build up the house of the living God, to build up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we come to build up His kingdom, and we come to worship Him. All of our life is worship unto God. Everything that we do is to be done to the glory of God. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Our whole life is one great act of worship. We become a living sacrifice, directing every activity, every thought, every motive, every deed into the service of God, thinking how all of these things can bring honor and glory to God eliminating from our lives anything that we know cannot bring honor and glory to God. And therefore, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do all to the glory of God. Our whole life becomes an act of worship. And it's all acceptable to God as it is done through Jesus Christ, according to Peter. Going back to 1 Peter 2:5, you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, that means you have to be in Christ in order to be able to worship God, in order to be able to serve God, in order to be able to do anything that God accepts. When the Bible tells us that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, meaning the good deeds that people do, they're filthy rags in the sight of God unless we are in Christ. And then they become wonderfully acceptable to Him because they are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. When the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that the plowing of the wicked is sin, that's a strange statement to many people. Come on now. I know that stealing is sin. I know that drunkenness is sin. I know that adultery is sin. I know that blaspheming the name of God is sin. I know what sin is. I know a lot of these things are sin, but doing an honest day's work, the plowing of the wicked, is sin? How can that be? Well, because even the act of plowing is an act of rebellion against God if you are not submitted to Jesus Christ. Why are you plowing? Well, you're certainly not plowing for the glory of God. You're not plowing because God commanded you to work and earn your bread by the sweat of your brow, to do honest labor and to thereby provide for your family, because, of course, that's what God has told us to do. But that's not what you're doing, because you're not doing anything with the thought of trying to please God, trying to do it because He said so, and trying to obey Him. Because if that is your motive, then the first thing you're going to do is to acknowledge your sin and come to Jesus Christ. And when you have not done that, nothing else you do is acceptable to God. But when you are in Christ Jesus, then everything that you do becomes acceptable to God, unless it is an act of willful defiance. Another way of putting it is that everything that a non-Christian does is sin, because his motive is not to please God, it is to please himself. Why does the wicked plow? For self, for his own benefit. That's his only motive, just for his own benefit, to earn money for himself and his family, of course, but it's all self-centered. Why does the Christian farmer plow? In order to bring honor and glory to God. Of course, it is a way of supplying for himself and his family, but it's doing so in the way that God has given him to do. Everything is in reference to God. It's all the matter of the heart, the matter of the motive. So the Christian does everything in life to the glory of God, and therefore it is acceptable to God. He is in Christ, and everything he does is acceptable to God because of Jesus Christ. But the unbeliever can't do anything that is pleasing to God because he will not yield to the Son of God. Think on these things. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.